Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, very good. So, like I said, all the Nevi'im Acharonim do have certain similarities, right? They are foretelling the destruction. Yirmiyahu is later than Yeshayahu, right? He's actually talking about the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, not just of Yehuda, right? Hence, Chazal's assumption that he writes Sefer Eicha, right? Because he sees the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, right? So Yirmiyahu now is later, right? Yeshayahu is the period of the destruction of Yehuda, right? But remember, he dies by Chizkiyahu. That means there's still Menashe to go, right? The Beit HaMikdash is not destroyed yet, right? No, Yeshayahu did, right? Yeshayahu died at Chizkiyahu, right? He didn't see Menashe, and he didn't see all the kings who ruled for a few months at the end, right? He didn't see all that, right? He sees the destruction of Yehuda, but not the Beit HaMikdash. He predicts it, but didn't see it. Yirmiyahu, right, starts before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and he, what do you need? And he sees the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, okay? Again, I can't go through all of Yirmiyahu, so let me pull out some salient themes. I want to pull out primarily two salient themes for Yirmiyahu. Again, since Yirmiyahu is the one that is going to actually experience the Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, his fundamental enemy, right? His fundamental thing that he fights against, right, is well, do you know what is it that you're right? What is Yirmiyahu's fundamental fight
against? Idolatry.
No. So his fundamental fight is against
false Nevi'im.
Correct. Right. The fundamental fight that Yirmiyahu has is false Nevi'im. Right. Meaning, sure, he's telling them to do tshuva and the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. But what makes Yirmiyahu unique is that Yirmiyahu's main challenge in life is that while he is trying to convince people that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed because nothing on earth is holy enough, right, that it is impervious to destruction if you don't deserve it, right, there's another religious voice that is being put out there that's saying, don't listen to him, that's heresy. Right, that's heresy. Don't listen to him saying that because we're bad, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It's the house of God. It's impossible. He's a kofar, yeah. Right? And it closes their ears to the truth. Right? They don't listen. Now, the problem is if you're living in the time of Yirmiyahu, it's very hard to know who's telling the truth. Right? We all think like, oh, the Nevi'im. Right, the Nevi'im, it would have been so easy if we lived in the time of Nevuah to know what God wanted. No, it wouldn't be. Because there were counter voices.
Right?
What?
Miracles.
So, look at Perek Zayin, okay? And this is what I think. Perek Zayin really is the perek that describes the unique challenges of Yirmiyahu, okay? Hadavar asher hayal Yirmiyahu me'ed Adonai le'mor. Right, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Amod b'shar be'ed Adonai. V'karata shem davar hazeh v'amarta shimu dvar Adonai kol Yehuda habayim b'sharim ha'ilah z'shtach avot l'Adonai. Stand in the gates of Yehuda and call to whoever comes to the house of God. Right? Kol amar Adonai tzva'ot elohei Yisrael heitilu darcheichem u'maleichem v'eshkena etchem b'makom hazeh. Do good and I will dwell among you. We'll see how long we go if everyone's going to disappear me. Okay, that's fine. What did he say? He says, listen. He says, look. He says, Al tiftichu lachem el divrei hasheker lemor. Heichal Adonai, heichal Adonai, heichal Adonai hema. Don't listen to the people who are yelling and screaming. Right? It's the house of God, the house of God, the house of God. Right, I want to get into the grammatical problem of Hema there, right? He says, don't believe the people who say that, right, nothing will ever happen to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the way Yael Ziegler puts it, and I think she's right, I've given share extensively just on this point in the Midrashim, is that why would they say, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, right? Right? What is giving them the koach, the support to say that, oh, the Beit HaMikdash will never be destroyed? So the way she puts it, and I think she's totally right, it's a question of interpretation of the story of Chizkiyahu. Right? So what's the story of Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu is a tzaddik, and therefore Sancheirib destroys all of Israel, right, all of Yehuda, gets to Yerushalayim, Chizkiyahu davens to God, and a miracle happens and 186,000 soldiers of Sancheirib die overnight, and he runs back home and gets killed. Right? That's the story of Chizkiyahu, and Yerushalayim is saved. Good. What is the message one learns from the what is the message one learns from Chizkiyahu, the story of Chizkiyahu? So there's two that you could listen, right? Two messages. One is, no matter what happens, Yerushalayim is safe because it's the home of God. And the other is
Chizkiyahu is awesome.
But, yeah, the other is that if you are a good person, yeah, if you're a good person, you'll be saved. And Chizkiyahu, right, was a tzaddik, and therefore, despite the fact that the Jews may not have deserved it, and Achaz was pretty bad before him, right, there's reality to Schar V'Onesh, and therefore, since he did, right, he did some good, Yerushalayim was saved. The nafkamina is, what happens when nobody's doing anything good? Will Yerushalayim survive? Right, and the machlokes seems to be that there were those who said, right, who learned the lesson, so to speak, of Chizkiyahu, which is, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem! Right? It doesn't matter how much destruction comes. Yerushalayim is safe. The Beit HaMikdash is safe. God will never let his abode on this earth be destroyed. And Yirmiyahu says that's the wrong message to learn. Right? The message you should learn is right. Yes, that doing the right thing saves you. Right? Doing the right thing saves you. And therefore he says, if you do good in your path, so then you do mishpat between people. And again, the ethic, right? The ethics of the right, the people on the periphery. You treat the stranger. You treat the yatom, right? The orphan. The amana. You don't oppress them. Vidamna ki al tishpechu b'makom hazeh. You don't spill blood here in the Beit HaMikdash. And you don't follow idolatry. Right? Now, he doesn't mean... And again, okay, second point. What does he not mean? He does not mean idolatry, l'umat, worshipping God. He means syncretism. Right?
What?
Syncretism. People who thought you could believe in God plus. Right? Obviously, because he's saying, don't believe in the people who say that they can be in the Beit HaMikdash while worshipping idols outside. Right? The majority of Jews at the time did not follow idols to the exclusion of God. They follow idols in addition to God. Right? Which is, I'll play to Baal because Baal has power, and I'll play to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei because he has power. Right? He says, don't believe the people who say you can be unethical and serve God, and don't believe the people who say that you can treat God like a member of the pantheon. Right? Again, this is where people get it wrong. Right? They read the first half of that pasuk, right? And they say, right, religion is all about ethics. Right? Right? No. That's not the point of Yirmiyahu, it's not the point of Yishayahu, it's not the point of any of them. Right? It's, you have to be ethical, and you have to be, right? You have to follow God in a monotheistic sense. Like, treat God as he meant to be treated. Right? Which means, be ethical, because that's what he wants you to do, and don't be a syncretist. Right? Don't believe, right? Don't worship God, plus worship God. If you do that, if you do that, then I'll give you this land. But you are relying on these liars. Right? These people who tell you that you can steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, sacrifice to Baal and other gods you don't know, right? Like, you know, everything bad, right? Uvatem v'amatem lefanai b'bayit hazeh asher nikri shemi alav amartem nitzalnu l'man asot et kolei devota eila, and then you can come stand in my house and say we are safe to do these abhorrent things? Excuse me, right? That's the wrong message that you are getting here. Hamarat pratzim haya b'bayit hazeh. What is this house, a den of thieves? I have seen what's going on. And then he says something quite harsh. He is from, right, where's Yirmiyahu from? Shiloh. Good. Right, he's from Anatot. He's one of the priests of Anatot. Right? He's one of the Kohanim Anatot, but that means he's from the area of Shiloh. Right? So here, right, he comes from Shiloh. And he says, you want proof that there's no place in the world that is safe just because it's the place of God? Come to my hometown. Oh. Look what happened to Shiloh. Right? You don't believe me? Come. Come, I'll take you. Right? I'll take you. Kilchuna el mikom yasher b'shiloh asher shikanti shmi sham barishona. Uru et asher asiti lo mibnei ra'ad ami Yisrael. God is God talking, but personified, right, in Yirmiyahu. Come, let me show you what exactly I did to my house. Vata. Yanas etchem et kol ma'asim ha'ilah nu ma'adonai v'adaber alechem ashkem v'adaber l'vil shamatem v'kra etchem v'lo anitem. And now because you do all these things, declare the Lord, and though I spoke to you persistently, you would not listen. And I called to you, you would not respond. V'asiti labayit asher nikrash mi alav asher atem botchim bo. V'lamakom asher natati lechem v'adochem kasher asiti l'shilo. This house you rely on, it's the next Shiloh. It's over. Right? Why? What's the theology here? What's keeping you irreligious? The Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is responsible for your evil. Because you think that, right? Now, I hate to do this, but it's obviously true, right? The theology that Yirmiyahu rails against is not dead, right? How often, right? This is, you know, the scary thing is that when I read Yirmiyahu, right? I mean, you guys are a bit young, but I hear Gush Katif, right? People saying it'll never happen, it'll never happen, there can never be another Galut, we're in Eretz Yisrael, nothing will ever change, right? No, it can. Right? Nothing is safe, right? There's no magic place, right? Or the people who say you'll be safe if you repeat this Pasuk, right? Or you wear this red bindle, or whatever, right? Meaning, anything we use as a talisman that we use to justify not actually worshiping God, right? And I mean that ethically and theologically, right? That's his point, right? Yirmiyahu, again, is one of these prophets that people misquote that it's all about ethics. No, he says it's about mistreating the ger and the yatam and the almanah, and it's about worshiping other gods and committing adultery and, right, avodah zarah, right? It's about everything. The point is, you can't just say, but what do you mean? I have respect for the Torah. I have so much respect for the Torah. I carry a little Zohar around with me. Right? I mean, I have cousins like this, right? I have a non-religious cousin who, like, carries around a Zohar as a talisman and once showed it to me proudly, and I looked at it, and she saw that my eyes actually could, you know, it was like they weren't glazing over them, like they could read the words. She's like, oh, you can read it? Right? I just carry it around. I just look at it, right? But, you know, people feel very religious. But that's his point. You can't feel religious, right? You got to do something about it. Right? You've got to act in line with what God wants. Again, ethically and ritually. And then he says something even harsher, and he says, you don't believe me? You think the Jews, right? This is like also something you hear, unfortunately, right? But nothing ever changes, right? Oh, you'll tell me, but we're Jews. God loves us. It'll never happen, right? And what does he say to them?
I heard it.
He's like, I did it to 10 out of 12 tribes. What exactly, what delusional planet are you people living on? Right? I have destroyed previous Batei Mikdash, or the Mishkan in Shiloh, and you think the Jews, right? You see both of the theologies, right? Eretz Yisrael will never live as Eretz Yisrael, right? Or the Jews, right? God will have mercy in the Jews in the end of the day, no matter what we do, right? God loves you, right? All these sort of like things that, these like cheapy religious things that drive me nuts, right? People who say, the only thing you need is to remember that God loves you because you're a Jew, right? Yirmiyahu says, ignore those people, right? I mean, yes, God loves you. Yes, Eretz Yisrael is holy. But no, neither of those things are justifications for you to not actually take the responsibility of being Jewish seriously. Right? And if you do that, you're just hastening the end. Right? So he says, please ignore those people. Right? Vata. And now he turns to Yirmiyahu, and this is like the most heart-wrenching thing he could ever say. He says, by the way, Yirmiyahu, your heart must be breaking that I'm making you say this. So what would a good Navi do at this point? What would Moshe Rabbeinu do now?
Pray for Yisrael.
He says to him, "Vata al titpalel ba'arav hazeh." Sha, I don't want to hear your. Don't you dare pray. Do not utter a word. I do not want to hear protest. Nothing. Like nothing. Al tisab adam rinaut filav al tifgabi. I don't want to listen to you either. Right? And this is like the most tragic pasuk for Yirmiyahu, because he is stuck between a rock and a hard place. He is stuck between a people who ignore him totally and a God who says, listen, your job is to tell the Jewish people that bad things are happening, but I'm not listening to you either. Right? Don't try to entreat me. I'm telling you what to do. This is not a conversation. There's no relationship. Yirmiyahu, I'm sorry. Right? And this is why people think, oh, it'd be so nice to have Nevi'im. Right? No, the Nevi'im have lived miserable lives. Right? A lot of them. Yirmiyahu, right, is going to be tortured and tormented. Right? And he has no respite. Right? God says, the people are going to ignore you, and I'm ignoring you. Right? This is just a hopeless situation. He says, what, you don't see what's going on? Right, this is like the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? It's like, right? He says, look, before you say anything, look around you. You have a defense? Really? You have something to say? There's nothing to say. Just don't bother. Right? Just do not bother. Habanim, right? Habanim melaktim etzim. Right? This insane, right, image. He says, the children, they collect wood, you know, like for Lag BaOmer, right? But it's not a good picture. Va'avot mevarim v'neish, and the fathers make the bonfires. V'anashim lashot batzeik, and the women are baking the bread. Right? This is all like beautiful Lag BaOmer, and then it says lasot kavanim lechet shamayim, to worship the Queen of Heaven. Right? The whole ganza mishpacha is involved in avodah zara, and you want to pray for them? Right? No. V'aseichem zachem le'elohim acherim l'man hakiseini. They're bringing carbon out to other gods just to make me angry. Is it me they're making angry? I mean, sure, but it's their own disgrace. This is their own downfall. Right? This is their fault. Elohim, hine api vechamatini teched al makom hazeh, al ha'adam v'al v'imav, al itzas adev, al priyadam avara v'lo techbeh. So my anger is against this, against the people, the place, the wood, the stones, a fire that will not be put out. Right? This is... yeah. Ko amar Adonai tzvot Elohei Yisrael, alo techem sefu al zivchem v'chlu v'asar. Add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat. Right, this is very harsh. He says, you know those olot, which are supposed to be totally burnt? Oh, just take them and eat them yourself. Right? I don't want your meat. Ich. Ki lo dibarti rabotichem, lo tiviti bayom otziyo, tam yeretz mitzrayim al divrei olav azavach. What, did I ever want your karbanot? Did I command them when I left Mitzrayim? Gevalt. And again, this drives everyone crazy. What do you mean you didn't command it? You did, right? So either it's rhetorical, or it's very literal, which is, I didn't give it to you beyom tzeitim Mitzrayim, meaning I gave you a bunch of laws before Vayikra, right? Meaning, yeah, I commanded karbanot after I gave you 200 mitzvot in the end of Shmot, right? Why do you think you can get away with a bunch of karbanot? Don't you remember? I didn't introduce myself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha and I want karbanot. I introduced myself with the Aseret Dibur and Mishpatim, right? I introduced an entire set of religious and civil law before I bothered getting to Vayikra, right? That would be a very close read of this, right? Is I did command karbanot, but it wasn't the first thing. It was the 250th, right? Right? It's meaningful if you, right? Chronology makes a difference, right? This is some of them first and read it, right? That chronology makes a difference. Saying, look, yeah, sure, I commanded to you, but don't you remember that karbanot means something if you believe in Okei Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivichem Mitzrayim? And you believe lo yelecha Elohim achirim al panai and lo tisa shem hashav and zachor shem hashav is like a tov and kamei zavicha vecha velo tirtach and lo tenach, and you believe the laws of eved and ivri, and you believe the laws of damages, and you believe the laws of shor, and you believe the laws of, right, and you believe everything that I gave you, right, and the laws of Shabbos again, and the laws of, right, then it makes sense. You're going to jump to Vayikra, you think again, then it's magic, right? Then it's magic. Then it's a red bindle. Right? Then it, you think that spirituality comes down to a bunch of symbols, right, that will save you. Right? That's not what religion is. He says, Kim adavarazetzi vidyotam lemor, shimu vikoli. Said, this is what I commanded you. Listen. Right? That's what I want. Listen to me. Right? Right? Listen. Don't give me what you think I want. Right? This is like parents, right? I do not... Don't give me what you think I want. What I want is for you to listen, right? I said bedtime is You know, whatever, I want you to go to sleep, right? Don't come to me. It's like, you know, it's like the little kid, right, who, like, it's cute, but it drives you crazy, right? It's like, you know, 2 hours after their bedtime, they're still fighting. I just wanted to come and give you a hug. Ema, I just wanted to give you a hug, right? And, you know, your frustration is overflowing. It's like, it's beautiful you want to give me a hug. What I want you to do is go to sleep, right? Right? Now, there it's cute. It's not cute when it's God saying, oh, you want to give me a little present, but you're worshiping idols in the Beit HaMikdash. No! Get out of here, right? This is like, right? You are a murderous, crazy, right? You're murderous, idolatrous, evil, corrupt people. Get out of my house, right? And he said, what I said was, Shimu Bikoli. Now, if you listen to me, so then, Vayitim Lachem Lelohim, Vatem Ti Lilam. So then I'll be your, right, you'll be my people, I'll be your God. But you didn't. But you didn't do this. And then he says, and we'll skip after this. This isn't new. This has been going out literally since day one. I took you out of Egypt. It was downhill from then, right? Vashlach lechem et kol avdei neviim yomash kein v'shaloach. I've been sending you neviim since Moshe, right? V'lo shamu elai v'lo hitu et aznam v'ekshu et arpam ereu mavatam. And again, the people who say, right? Yes, it is, but it's also the people who say, oh, don't blame us. If there were Nevi'im, it would be good. If we had a direct line to God, it'd be good. God tells you, no, it wouldn't. Right? No one ever listened to Nevi'im. Ever. Period. End of story. Never happened. Only non-Jews listened to Nevi'im. Jews ignore them. Always. They were, but every time you had a Navi actually tell them to do something good, right? Right? Nisht. Correct. This is a shtickle rhetoric, right? Obviously, yes. In the time of Yeshua, they seem to be pretty good, but sort of. Sure. Right, and then they all got killed out, and then we got through this again. Like, they're not great. Not great.
They weren't
worse, but it was bad. Okay. Now. Just to understand how much this is really his challenge in life. Okay. Now, just to understand how this is really his challenge, right, these are the two prakim I think you need to really understand the situation Yirmiyahu is in. Skip to Perek Chavav. Okay? So, in... Well, he goes on and on and on, but Perek Chavav is where you really see how bad it gets. So Perek Chavav, he's giving one of these speeches, right? So skip to Bazig Dalad. If you don't listen to me, right, this is a summary of what we saw in Perek Zion. Now you see what happens when Yirmiyahu actually bothers saying this. Vayishmu ha-Kohanim v'ha-Nevi'im. Right? Now, if you don't believe me, right? The Kohanim and the Nevi'im heard Yirmiyahu. V'chol ha'am et Yirmiyahu midaber d'vareim ha'ila b'veir Adonai. Everyone's listening in. V'hi kechalot Yirmiyahu l'daber d'kol shetziva Adonai l'daber d'kol el kol ha'am v'hit besu ato ha-Kohanim v'ha-Nevi'im v'chol ha'am l'mor mot tamut. As soon as he finishes his speech, they all grab him, the Kohanim, the fake Nevi'im, or maybe real Nevi'im, who knows, and they say, okay, you're a Navi Sheker, let's kill you. Right? What? Or people who thought they were real Nevi'im, right? Not like people who understood they were fake Nevi'im, not like Nevi'ah Baal, but these Nevi'ah Shem, which aren't true Nevi'im, right? Meaning, these are people, presumably, who really think they're telling the truth, right? Because what do they say? They say, Madu ani beit v'shem Adonai le'mor, kishilo yiyah bayit azev ha'ir azev techarev, me'en yoshev, v'ikehel kol amir yom v'ir Adonai. How dare you say that the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed with Shiloh? What heresy? Right? You have to die. You're a kofar. Right? This is religious zealotry at its best. Right? Right? They're not saying, shh, we want to do Avodah Zarah. They're saying,
you're going against Hashem.
You're going against Hashem. You can't. You're Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael. You know, Am Yisrael. Right? You know, Right? Am Yisrael Voraisa Vikuchabrichu Chadu, right? We're, I don't know, whatever they're saying, right? Vaishmusa, right? But yeah. Vaishmusa Rey Udara Dwarimaila Vayalu mi beta melech beta no veshu beta shara chadash. Right, the officers come of Yudah, and the Nevi'im said, then look, this guy needs to get put to death. He's a kofar. Right? He's a kofar. Vayomer Yirmiyo will call Sarim, will call Amle Mor. Adonai Shalachanina Vela Bayt Azevel Irazot. I call it Vimashem Shematem. What do you want from my life? God told me to say this. Right? Right, don't kill me, do tshuva and prevent this from happening, people. But he gives up and he says, look, do tshuva. You want to kill me? Kill me. I don't care. In fact, you'll do me a favor. Right? Like, I can't handle this life anymore. Just kill me. Right? But do me a favor, right? My a dead man's wish. Do tshuva, people, right? Do what you want. Kill me. I don't care, right? Ach yadoa teidu ki meitim atem oti ki dam no ki atem notnim alechem vel irazot vel yoshva ki bemet shalachani adon alechem daber bar nechem et kol vrameila. But just know, if you kill me, it's just worse because my blood is, I'm innocent, right? You're adding that to your sin, right? Because I really was sent by God, right? You're playing with fire here. You're killing the prophet of God who was sent to make you do tshuva, right? That's not a good, that's not a recipe for success. So the officials say, you're right, he doesn't get to go to God because he's speaking in the name of God. And how do they know? And this is the saving grace, right? Aha. Some elders got up and said, You know, there was once a Navi in the time of Chizkiyahu named Micha Morashti. Micha. The Navi Micha, the book in the Treasar. And in the time of Chizkiyahu, you know, he said the same thing. He said Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Ah, oh, and he was a real Navi. You know, maybe Yirmiyahu isn't a fake. Taka, maybe he's not a fake. Right? He's just echoing Micha HaMoreshti.
Why is that good enough, like, proof? Like, if anything, you'd say,
it's a miracle that saved him. It's a miracle that saved him. He said, HaMeid HaMitu Chizkiyahu Melech Yudah Chodah L'Yirei Adonai V'Echal P'nei Adonai V'Nachem Adonai L'Ra Asher Dibar Lehim Anachno Simra Agdola Al Nashratenu. Now, I think coming back to Yael Ziegler's point, this is actually very powerful, right? Because, right, if Yael Ziegler is right, which is that the narrative that people have in the back of their mind that is causing the confusion is the victory of Chizkiyahu, or the miraculous defeat of Sancheriv, more precisely. There's no victory, but this defeat of Sancheriv, like, what are they saying?
Well, even back then,
right? I mean, Chizkiyahu, you know that story that we look back to, that Yerushalayim is impervious? Chizkiyahu didn't kill Micha. He didn't think it was heresy to say Yerushalayim could be destroyed. Right? Chizkiyahu feared God, and he thought that was entirely plausible. He thought Micha was a real Navi. Maybe Yirmiyahu was right. Right? Maybe Yirmiyahu was telling the truth. Maybe we got the wrong message. Right? Maybe the message isn't Yerushalayim is impervious, is that Chizkiyahu was righteous. And maybe that's the message. You know, and it's not worth it to possibly kill a real Navi. Right? That's, if he's telling the truth, killing him is going to be bad. It's going to be a bad thing. V'gam ish haya minabei b'shem Adonai Uriah ben Shmayo mikiryat yarim minabei l'ir azot v'al aretz azot k'chol divrei Yirmiyahu. And there was another Navi who did this. Uriah ben Shmayo said this. V'yishma melech Yehoiakim v'chol rav v'chol zerim v'dvarav v'yakesh ha-melech yamito v'yishma Uriah v'yirav v'yivrach v'yavo Mitzrayim. Now then Yehoiakim really did try to kill Uriah, and Uriah fled. Right? He went to Mitzrayim. V'yishlach, sorry, this is not historical, this is happening right now. Vayishlach Hamelch Yehoiakim Anashim Mitzrayim el Natan ben Achbor Anashim Ito Mitzrayim Vayitziu et Uriyahu Mitzrayim Vayavu El Hamelch Yehoiakim Vayikev Acheret Vayishlach in Vlatol Givrei Bnei Avraham. Right, if you thought that a Navi couldn't get killed, right? No, Yirmiyahu didn't, but Uriah did. Right, I mean, at the same time, there was more than one true Navi going around, and Yirmiyahu managed to survive it because they invoked Micha and people listened. But Uriah said the same thing, and they chased him down to Egypt and killed him. Right, you know, Ach Yarecham and Shavan Aita and Yirmiyahu Levilti Teroto Biyara Am Lamito. So you see that being a Navi is absolutely freakishly miserable. right? I mean, it's just terrible. The people, like, just don't listen to him at all. Yes. Yes, it does. And it gets worse, because you skip to Perek Chof Chet. If you skip to Perek Chof Chet, to see what he's up against, right? Now, there is a political message. In addition to a religious message, he tells them, actually, go to Chav Zayin, Pesach Yud Bet. He says, Vel Tzidkiyo Melch Yehuda Dibarti Chod Ver Me'ila Leimor Haviyo Et Savarechem Ba'ol Melch Bavel Vivdo Do Vimo Vichyu. Sorry, Perek Chav Zayin, Pesach Yud Bet. Right? So, in addition to his religious message, Yirmiyahu and many of the Nevi'im have a political message, which is, don't try to play politics. Don't think that's what's going to save you in these wars of powers, right? Constantly, people were like, "We'll team up with Ashur against Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim against Ashur, right? Bavel against this, Ashur against Bavel, right?" All the Nevi'im, their message is that's not what it's about. Stay out, stay neutral. Do not ally yourself with any superpower. And again, this, I also get chills every time I read this because every Navi says, "Don't think that your salvation comes from superpowers. If you get involved in superpower wars, you're going to be destroyed." Because God is just going to let nature play itself out, and if you team up with one superpower, then when the other superpower rises, you're doomed, right? And like when I read this, I'm like, I'm trying not to think prophetically, right, about the reality. But on the other hand, as you watch, right, like every time you watch a news report, right, under President Obama, Netanyahu started cozying up to Putin because he realized he couldn't just rely on America. Under Trump, he's relying on America. And everyone's like, no, this is a bad idea. Don't put your faith in Putin or in America, right? Start developing independence. You know, part of me is like, there's pragmatic politics. You know, maybe we should continue our alliances. And part of me is like, what would Yirmiyahu say? Yirmiyahu might say, you know, would he might really say, I don't know, because every situation is different. Not every time you have an alliance in Tanakh, does Tanakh say it's bad, right? Exactly. Shlomo has alliances, and Tanakh is not nearly as critical of it, right? Which is why you're like, well, the message is always the same. But part of me is always like, I really don't want to know what the Nevi'im would say nowadays.
It's about keeping the mitzvot and not doing that
again. Right, you know, but again, I'm just telling you honestly that part of me, every time I read these books, is like, what would Yirmiyahu be thinking right now? Right.
Not that Tanakh doesn't agree with the mitzvot part at all. Yeah, that's not so great.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. Thanks. Right. Like I said, I am perpetually baffled by the fact that we had abundant rain this winter. Right. Because every time we have abundant rain, I'm like,
why?
Why? Well, God, what did you see that I'm not seeing? What good are we doing? Right? You said that you will send rain. Im shamat tishmu. Where did you see we're listening to the mitzvot? Right, you know, it caused me theological trauma. But okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, now in Chav Chet you see that these fake Nevi'im, they're pretty convinced and even convincing. So you get Hananiah ben Azor. Vayhi b'shana hi b'reishit mamlechet Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda b'shana ha'revi'it b'chodesh ha'chamishi amar elai Hananiah ben Azor navi asher migivon b'beit Adonai le'inei ha'kohanim v'chol am le'mor. Hananiah ben Azor is either a fake navi or, as Chazal understanding, a navi emet who became a navi sheker, right? Meaning these are real Nevi'im who just become so convinced of their religious message they're not willing to tap into the truth, right? But remember, he calls him a navi.
How can this person know he's a navi sheker?
Oh, that's exactly the problem, right? That's my point. Is that one of the things?
Why is he not the people anymore?
What?
Why is he not the people anymore? Because national level, we're trying to listen to them. They have no idea of knowing this one's
correct.
False.
Yep. Yep. And that's why, if you actually read Nevi'im, you realize that the simple way that it's presented in Chumash is not actually how it plays out, right? Meaning the law as set in Chumash does not give you the full picture of what that looks like in real life, right? You can have multiple Nevi'im, and it's very hard for the average person to figure out what's going on, right? Yes. Yes, I know that's theologically right. But look at it, right?
God knows the Jews are false, so
to speak. I get it, but God thinks they are. So, right? So now he says, Ko amar Adonai Tzvot Elohei Yisrael Lemor, Shavarti et ol Melech Bavel. And what does Hananiah ben Azor say? Look, I have broken the yoke of Bavel from your backs. What? Right? Listen to how confident he is. Don't worry, right? Nebuchadnezzar had come round one. Don't worry. In 2 years from now, all the kalim the Nebuchadnezzar stole, they're coming back to the Beit HaMikdash. Great prophecy. Totally happened that way, right? ved yachonya ben yakim ach yudavet kol galut yuda baim bavel ani mishivet amakom hazenu madanaki eshbor et ol melech bavel. Don't worry, I'm bringing them all back, all the kings, all the people. The galut is over in 2 years.
There's still people alone.
They're already, right? This is the second. Right? We're at the end, yeah, right? Yeah. Right? There's the 11 years before
the Okay,
Yirmiyahu is at the end. He sees Korban HaBayit, which means he sees Galut Yechonya. Right? I mean, remember, okay, historically, remember we did this in the Malachim. 11 years before Korban HaBayit is Galut Yechonya, that all the Kalim and the Beit HaMikdash and all the kings and all the officers are exiled.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the first round, the Beit HaMikdash isn't destroyed. But the creme de la creme of the people is exiled. Right? So Hananiah says, it's temporary. Everyone's coming back in 2 years. And Yirmiyahu says, right? It's a showdown in the Beit HaMikdash.
Wait, where is
it? This is Perek Chavchet, Pasuk Hei. So Yirmiyahu says to Hananiah, and all the people were standing there, the Kohanim and all the people, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi, Amen. Ken Yaseh Adonai. Yakum Adonai Dvarecha Shani Beit Al Shiv Klevet Adonai Kol Agola Mivel Magom Azeh. Amen. Halivai that that's what should happen. Except Achshma Na Hadavar Azeh Shani Chidover Bat Nechal Vazneh Kol Am. I wish that would happen. But let me tell you what's actually going to happen. Right? Hanevim Asher Ayu Lefanai Velavanecha Min Haolam Vinevu Al Artsot Rabot Vam Amachot Gdolot Lemelchama Lora Ladaver Navi Asher Navi Leshalom Bevo Dvar Navi Yivada Navi Shalcho Adonai Be'emet. Let's see what's going to happen, right? Some of us have been talking about peace, some of us destruction. Let's see who's true, right? In the end of the day, you'll know who's right. Good luck. But Hanani is so convinced. Ve'ikach Hananiah Navi Amotam Me'al Tzavar Yirmiyah Navi Ve'ishbereu. He takes the bar that Yirmiyahu had on his neck, right? So Yirmiyahu had on his neck a bar that indicated, right, that was symbolic of the yoke of Bavel, right? Because he was telling them, accept Bavel, just don't fight it, right? Don't play politics, right? Stay out of it, just be subservient, it'll be fine, right? He takes it from him and he smashes it, right? Vayomer Hananiah le'inei chalam le'mar ko amar Adonai. Kacha eshbor et ol Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel ba'od shnatayim yomim me'al tzavar kol gaim v'yelech Yirmiyahu navi l'darko. So shall God break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And Yirmiyahu just leaves. Right? And then he just leaves. Right? And God says, no, you're not getting off that easily. Turn around and go back. Vayhid v'arathinu Yirmiyahu acharei shbor Hananiah navi el motav me'al tzavar Yirmiyahu navi le'mor haloch v'amart el Hananiah le'mor kom Adonai motot et shavarta v'asita tachtehen motot barzel. You may have just broken a wood yoke. Don't worry, I'll replace it with a metal one. Right? You've just made things worse. Right? Kicho amar Adonai Tzvaot el Israel, Ol Barzel Natati Tzavar Kol Agoyim Ha'el Lavod Nuchanezer Belch Bavel Vavdu V'gamet Chayat Saden Natati Lo. Right, all the nations and even the animals shall serve Nebuchadnezzar. Right, you're not getting out of this one so easily. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi El Hananiah Navi Shmana Hananiah Lo Shelachacha Adonai V'atayf Tachta Ramazel Shaker. And this is the summary of the whole book. Right? He turns to Hananiah and said, God didn't send you Hananiah, and you're making the people rely on you're giving people false hope. Right? You're giving the people false hope. Lochen kol mar Adonai hini mishalechcha me'al pnei adama shana atamek. Kisara dibart Adonai. Hananiah, I promise you, you're dead by the end of this year. Right? Vayomad Hananiah navi b'shana hi b'chodesh ha'shvi'i. Right? But this is the battle of Yirmiyahu. Right? Yirmiyahu, right, his primary battle is that nobody believes him, and that he's fighting all these Nevi HaSheker. Right, and Yirmiyahu, he throws down the gauntlet and says, good luck. You want to know the truth? You don't believe me? Fine. Wait it out. See who wins. See who's right. Right? Good luck. Right? And that's what you have to remember about Yirmiyahu, right, is that things are really unclear at this time. Right? As much as that is disturbing theologically, God doesn't make things easy. Right? Now, you can say that the message is part of it is you have to listen to your conscience, right? You have to say, what do I think is more likely? Right? A Navi saying God likes people who do the right thing, or a Navi who says the Beit HaMikdash is magic, right? You know, I mean, yes, it's hard for people to understand, but on the other hand, you know, at some point, God clearly did hold them responsible. Right? That's the terrifying message of Yirmiyahu. The answer is, Inoch Hanani. Hananiah was prophesying in the name of God, and he was really convincing, and a lot of people thought he was really true. But you know what? There were people who if you really push, could see the truth. Right? They would realize, no, he's saying the same thing as Micha. Right? And Chizkiyahu, who was a righteous king, believed Micha. So maybe Yirmiyahu is right. Right? He's less convenient, but he's right. But that's Yirmiyahu's, right? That's, I think, one of the central themes that I would leave you with Yirmiyahu, is that Yirmiyahu shows you that how hard it was to understand what was true at that time, right? There was no magic. It wasn't like, oh, there's enough, I know what to do. It was Nevi'im were kicking and screaming, and just as much as they were doing that, there were false people saying, don't worry about it, it's okay, it's all going to be fine, nothing's going to happen. It's not raining, is it?
No way.
What? Oh, okay. And that really forces you to ask, right, what exactly you would we'd have done. Now, obviously, the summary of it is that I don't have to tell you the end of Yirmiyahu is
everything goes as he says.
Yeah, everything goes exactly as he says, and as they say, all goes to hell in a handbasket, and the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, right, and it's terrible, and Yirmiyahu is vindicated, right, but that's no comfort to Yirmiyahu. But that's really the end of Yirmiyahu, which leads to, what? Yeah.